Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Mem Gimel. And as you recall, we're in the middle of a Gishmaka Sugya that we started yesterday, back on Mem Beis Amid Beis. We're roughly three quarters down the Amid. We had Omar Ula, Kolaparisha Kula Mashma Moitzi Miad Mashma, Umashma Memela. The whole parasha of Chukas, which talks about the Parah Aduma, part of it is Moitzi Miyad Mashma, and part of it is Mashma Memela. What means Moitzi Miyad Mashma? It means that if you go through the Psukim from beginning to end, and Ula is going to do that, he started doing that already yesterday, you'll notice that many of the Psukim follow very nicely, proceeding one into the other, using the same basic assumptions for the prior Pasuk, continuing on to the next Pasuk. However, often you'll also find that the psukim are exactly the opposite from the assumption that you would have made based on the prior pasuk. In other words, your first pasuk might be X, you would expect the next pasuk to be continuation of X, and it turns out that it's Y. And then a couple of psukim later, it might go back to X. What do you mean? Let's take a quick look at the Rashi once again. Rashi is about 12 lines before the wide lines, the narrow lines. Kola parasha kula, says Rashi, shel parah, of parah duma, which means the beginning of parashas chukas, kimoisha avodoseha, sidurai zu achazu, the avodis of the parah duma are mesuder, are laid out one after the other. Mashma moitzi miyad mashma, or mashma meila. Kisha tadaktik ba, when you really go into it and analyze the psukim, you're not able to go and have a smooth sailing where all the psukim go and follow one after the other easily, so that all the psukim are equal. Ella yesh behen shemashma mikra ze moitzi mechlal mashma mikra shelafonov. Often you will find that there will be psukim that will be motzi, will exclude what we just read and learned the pasuk before. Masha pasul ze, hichshur ze. What one pasuk says is no good, the next pasuk says is good. Oy masha hichshur ze, pasul ze. First pasul says it's kosher, the next pasuk says it is pasul. That's one set of psukim. The yesh bo mikrois mashmois shemiskaimen memela mashma usai. And there are other psukim where, in fact, the follow-up pasuk is just a continuation of the thought process of the previous pasuk. Shehamashma koimibim koimai. That that you derived based on logic and understanding, that remains in place. Reina moitzi b'chlal chaveri. And it doesn't in any way, shape, or form exclude what the other pasuk says. Well, let's see. Siduran yesh lechol lehavin mau hamoitz mechal chaveroi umimashma memela. When you're going through the whole seder from beginning to end, then you'll begin to understand which psukim are motzi from each other. Motzi means to exclude the prior pasuk, and which one is mashma memela, which continues on consistently with the prior pasuk. V'achshav, and now ula doyrish v'hoylech eskula, he goes through all the psukim. So we went through a number of psukim already yesterday, and now we're going to continue on top of Mem Gimel Amid Aleph, where the Gemara begins. We went through the first two or three lines, and we can start again from the top line. It says in the pasuk, "V'shochad oisa lifanav." Now this pasuk is back again. All of the psukim that we're going to quote one after the other on the beginning of Parshas Chukas, and it says in the pasuk, "So is Chukas Torah, Asher Tziva Hashem Leimar, take a parah aduma and you process it." So the pasuk says, "Unasatam oisa, take the parah aduma and give it El Elazar Hakoyin." To Elazar, you remember Elazar is the Sgan. Sgan means the deputy Kohen Gadol. What does he do with it? V'hoitzi oisa el michus l'machaneh. He takes it outside that machaneh, and he takes it to the Har HaMishcha, what we call today the Har HaZeisim. And then the pasuk ends off with shochat oisa lefanav. And there's a machlokes that we already had yesterday between Rav and Shmuel, which we're going to quote yet again today. Who was that shochat oisa lefanav? If the pasuk would have ended off with shochat oisa, period, it would be pretty much a giveaway that it was Elozer that did the Shechita, because it says that we hand over the Parah Aduma and Asatam we saw Elozer coin. Elozer, here is the Parah, and then Elozer takes it out Michus Lamachne V'shachar Oysa, and he shachs it. However, the Pasuk doesn't end off with Shachar Oysa. It ends off with Shachar Oysa Lefanav. And based on that, Shmuel says, well, it's obvious that Elozer is not doing the shechting, because he wouldn't shecht it. What is this expression? He shechts it in front of himself. What, you thought otherwise he shechts it in back of himself? Can you do a shechita in back? And that doesn't make sense. So obviously it means that somebody else does a shechita Lefanav in front of Elozer HaKoyin. That was Shmuel. On the other hand, Rav said, no. B'shachar Oysa. Elozer took the Parah Aduma and he shechted it. What's that Lefanav? Lefanav means he should not be Mesiach Das Mimena, that he should constantly focus on what he's doing, because this is such an important avoida in Klal Yisrael. And remember, Barry was all upset about this Hesach Das. Of course, everything you have to be careful not to Mesiach Das. But this is what we learned yesterday. So we repeat it again, the top line, B'shachar Oysa, Shelo Yishchot Acheres Ima. Number one, don't shecht another animal at the same time. In other words, if you have a sakin arucha, a very long sakin, don't go and shecht both the paraduma and the other animal at the same time. And Rashi already brought yesterday a Mishnah Masechtas Parah that you have to make sure not to mingle or mix any other type of isuk or malacha when you're doing the paraduma, otherwise it passes it. And then it says lefanav, like we said before, make sure that the shochet, in this case Elozer, is focusing his attention throughout the whole time. Lishmul shehizor shochet, the pasuk is telling him a shochet oisa, somebody else shachs it lefanov in front of Elozer, via Elozer raya. Good. On to the next pasuk. Right in Parshas Chukas, we're now in pasuk Dalit. Belokach Elozer HaKoyin midamah be'etzvoi. Elozer HaKoyin now takes from the dam with his finger. What does he do with the dam? So the Gemara doesn't quote the whole pasuk, but the whole pasuk in its entirety is Belokach Elozer HaKoyin midamah be'etzvoi. V'hizah el noichach b'nei oil moed midamah sheva pamim. There's no mizbeach around to go and do a zrika sadam. So instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go and do hazor. Go and spritz the dam in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, turn from the Har Mishcha, look towards the Beis HaMikdash, and spritz it towards Pnei Oil Moed, Midoma Shevapam, seven times. Okay, so who is supposed to do that? Elozer. So now, says the Gemara, Lishmuel, why does the Pasuk say, V'lokach Elozer HaKoyin? Remember, according to Shmuel, the prior Pasuk said that it's not Elozer that's in charge of the Shechita, but rather a Zor is shechting. Elozer is just the Mashgiach. He's watching as the Shechita is taking place. So if the Pasuk would be silent, if it would just say, V'lokach midoma be'etzboi, we might think we're continuing to talk about that same Zor, or for that matter, another Zor. And therefore says Shmuel, no, the Pasuk specifically says Elozer HaKoyin to tell us Ladur Elozer. Until now, the Zor had taken over by doing the Shechita, and now he hands over the reins, so to speak, to Elozer, and Elozer takes it back. So this would be an example, for instance, of what the Gemara said, Moitzi Miyad Mashma, that the purpose of repeating again Elozer HaKoyin is to tell you, don't continue in the same pattern that who's in charge at the moment, the Tzar, but rather we hand over the reins back to Elozer. But now the question is, according to Rav, that L'chodesh should be unnecessary, because according to Rav, Elozer was doing the Shechita. So, for Shteitzach, he's going to continue on, V'lokach Elozer koi midom v'etzboi. It's a mir achamit, meaning the first pasuk said Elozer does it, and the next pasuk says again Elozer does it. Why do we have to keep on repeating ourselves? The mir achamit el rabbis that fill a koyin edget comes to tell you it doesn't have to be Elozer, even a koyin edget. And again, this is again an example of what Ula was saying, that moitzi miyad mashma, that we're not continuing on with the same pattern as we were speaking about before, but to the contrary, it's v'nahapachu. The purpose of writing Elozer to tell you, it's not Elozer that's going to do the Hazor Saddam, but even a Kohen Hedid can also do. I mean, Elozer could do the Hazor Saddam, but it's coming to add, the Rabbi Safila Kohen Hedid, regular Kohen Hedid can also do the Hazor Saddam. Okay.
The word Lefanov kind of like pretty much communicates that, right? Before, is he supervising?
He was supervising, and now the pasuk is telling you he ended his supervision, and now he actually took over. He took the reins in his hand, by not the reins so much, but more the blood in his hand, and he went and spitzed it towards Neuchach Olmait.
Why
go?
Yes, ma'am. Why in Azar then? The first niyat was night Azar.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. So that bothered me too. I think the answer is because we find in the Beis Hamikdash that shechita is mutter bizar. Zar can go and do shechita, but you never go and find that a zar can do anything after that. Kabbalah Saddam, Alocha Saddam, Zrika Saddam. So this Hazar towards the Beis Hamikdash is the parallel of the Zrika Saddam inside the Beis Hamikdash, and so therefore, logically, we wouldn't go and allow a zar to do it because a zar can't do it. It's a real avoider. A Zrika Saddam is the machaper. Here, the Hazar Saddam, in a sense, is doing the same thing. It's machsher the carbon. So it's got to be a coin as opposed to a zar. The next pasuk says, "V'lokach ha'koyin eitz erez ve'ezoy v'shni talos v'hishlich el toich sreifa sapar." Meaning, we're going to go and make a big, big sreifa, and when we make the sreifa, we're going to throw into the sreifa the eitz erez from the cedar tree, ezoy v'hishim shni talos. We spoke about the shni talos yesterday, that there were three separate rishonos, one by the pora, one by the sura mishnaleach, and the third one?
By the Mitzora.
By the Mitzora, exactly. The Chayyidah was a fourth one, Tosis asked about, and that's by the Sar Lashem. So we spoke about that yesterday as well. Anyway, what did they do with the Shnitalas? They tied the three together, and they threw it into the fire. And there was a machlokes where it does require COVID. It doesn't require COVID, meaning it doesn't require weight when it, so it should fall to the bottom of the fire, or can it even be singed at the top of the fire? But getting back to our Gemara, since it says v'lokach ha'koyin l'shmul da'filu b'koyin hedjet. Oh, since the prior pasuk says that the hazor has to be done dafkel by Elazar, so the new pasuk says v'lokach ha'koyin. Don't think it's Elazar anymore. Elazar now, he took a break. Now we have another kohen. He takes the eter, the eter shnei talos, the shmul, the afilu kohenet, even regular kohenet. Again, because this is moitzi mechlal or moitzi miyad mashma. Don't think Elazar continues. And possibly says, no. Elazar takes a break. Now somebody else a kohenet does.
We don't have the shan filling in as a kohen gadol, except in this case.
I don't know why you're saying it's a fill-in. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted. It should definitely be this guy. The first time.
But the Kohen Gadol couldn't do it? Aaron couldn't do it?
At that generation, it had to be done by Elazar, nobody else. In future generations, we had yesterday, Imara Machloikis, when it says in the Pasuk, the Satam, Isa, El Elazar, Elazar, Veloy, the Doiris, Elazar, Ikriyam, the Doiris, Bekoin Gadol, Ikriyam, the Doiris, Bekoin Hedge. And we're going to go and quote that shortly again in our Gemara. But Zokti Moriyat Nochmul, who's the one that does the throwing of the eight eres, eight eres, shnei talos, v'hishlech, kondishmul afel koinhejit. No more Elazar, koinhejit. L'rav itzrich. Now, what did Rav say? Rav said in the previous pasuk that even the Hazor Saddam could be done by a koinhejit. That being the case, I don't need v'lokach ha-koin. It could simply continue on v'lokach eitz eres because the previous pasuk is already talking about a kohen hedjet, right? Ein ribi ribi el ein miut acher miut el rabbi tafel kohen hedjet. It wouldn't be necessary to say kohen. So rab it's so kadayt chamanekim the lav gufa the parah ninu. Since we're no longer dealing with the parah itself, we're not shechting the parah, we're not doing hazor sadam of the parah, we're not burning the parah, but rather we're throwing in some external things. The eitz eres eidu v'shnita laas. Since it's not good for the parah, loyli boy koyin, maybe not even need a koyin. Maybe even a zar can do it, like Mendy was suggesting before. Kamash malon, no, dafka has to be a koyin. Fine. Next pasuk, v'chiv is the god of hakoyin. Now, why does it talk about the begodim, and why does it also repeat nochmal hakoyin? The whole thing is about koyin. Bekihunai comes to tell you that all of the avoidus that the koyin is doing, it has to be with his big day kahuna. Now you would say, no, isn't that a double poshet? No, it's not a double poshet. Because I might think the big dekuna can only be used for avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. What business does he have wearing the big dekuna outside the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash? No. Dr. Pasik, that koyin v'kihunai, that in fact he wears his big dekuna when he does all of these avoidas.
And the Tzar, if the Tzar appoints him on them,
the Tzar does not wear big dekuna.
Well, exactly. So the Tzar is wearing blue jeans?
He's wearing his shramel and his bekesher. Mm-hmm. What does the Zohar do shchita in Beis Mikdash? Every time we know shchita k'shei b'zohar. What does the Zohar wear there?
Appropriate clothing.
Appropriate clothing he's wearing out there.
Like, okay.
Yeah, not the blue jeans. Was it there?
It's a nice suit and tie. I mean, is there any shot about that? As what these assistants are seen for?
Throughout the year, Kol Adumah is a very, very rare occurrence. But throughout the year, every single day of the week, the shechita of the karbanis could be performed by a zar. In all likelihood, the kohanim protected their monopoly of what's going on, and they probably did it at all times. But a shechita was kasher bizar. Now that question is, can a zar wear big dikuna? And the answer is no, because he's not a kohen. So what did he wear?
That was my question.
And the answer is, you wear appropriate clothing. So you obviously a mechubadik clothing. He didn't come in with tattered jeans. He didn't wear a sandal.
Any details of that we don't know?
Not that I'm aware.
Okay.
Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So chivas begod of hakoyin bekihunai. Then the pasuk continues on. The tomi hakoyin ad haorev koyin bekihunai ledoyreis. This is to go and extend this rule of bekihunai, that when you do the avoid of the Para Aduma, not only in Elozer's times, but in future generations, all things should be done b'kihunai. B'kihunai means with the big day kohuna. Says, we just spoke about a moment ago, that it makes sense to go and say that future generations, when you're going to have a kohen hedjit, then I need to emphasize that kohen hedjit should wear his big day kohuna. Meaning, we said already at the first time that the Par Aduma was brought in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, it had to be the Skan, had to be the deputy Kohen Gadol. Future generations is either a downgrade or an upgrade, depending on what the halacha is. If you hold it could be any Kohen Hedjet, so then that's a downgrade. It doesn't have to be the Skan Kohen Gadol, it'd be a regular Kohen. If you tell me it's got to be the Kohen Gadol, then you're doing an upgrade. So Zokti Yomar, if you're going to tell me that in future generations all Parais Adumais have to be done by any Kohen Hedjet, so then it's good to reinforce, make sure he's wearing his big tikkun. Elaman Yom, the Doit of the Kohen Gadol, if you're going to tell me no, it's an upgrade, every time in the future has to be the Kohen Gadol. Hashe Kohen Gadol be'inan be'kihunai ni'boya. So the Chayz Adav HaParshit, that you have to have Kihunai in his big Bikuna, because if a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Makbid, it has to dafka be a Kohen Gadol. So what really makes the Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol is his big Bikuna, the Rebu Begadol, and the fact that he has the Shemayna Begadol. So it's logical that if the Kohen Gadol is required, then he has to be wearing all of his official attire. So what do I need a pasuk for? Says Yigmar, you know, you're absolutely right. Al pisvora, we would not need a pasuk, but rather, milza de asi bekal v'chaymer torach bekosav lakra. And you find this in the Gemara from time to time. This is not a favorite answer of the Gemara, because typically we like to find that every word in the Torah is measured and has a specific purpose. But if we don't have any other limud, then the Gemara, as a court of last resort, says, yeah, it's not true, we didn't need it, but Kodesh Baruch Hu just wanted to re-emphasize and write the rules again, be emphatic, make sure that you're wearing the big tikkun at all times when you're being osek in the Parah Aduma. Let's go on to the next pasuk. The Asaf Ish Tohoir, Eis Efer HaParah. Now when we look at this pasuk initially, you see, Asaf Ish Tohoir. If I would ask you, what's the halacha legabi and isha? Would we allow a woman to go and collect together the Efer HaParah? And presumably somebody would say, well, that's Asaf Ish. Ish v'la isha. That'd be a typical drasha. But in fact, over here, that is not, because all of these psukim, there's nothing typical about them, because sometimes they're miyad mashma, and sometimes they are memela mashma, like we have in the Gemara. So the Gemara tells you, Yosef ish tohar, eis efer ha-pora, v'hiniach. Ish lahachshir es-sazor. The fact that it says ish, we want to be machshir sazor. And Rashi once again says, the reason why I'm dashing that way, since until now, according to both Rav, and according to Shmuel, any koyin can go and do the previous thing that we were talking about. V'lokach hakoyin eitz erez v'ezer. Right, going back to six lines from the top of the Amud. V'lokach hakoyin eitz erez v'ezer v'shnito los. Shmuel said, "Afel hakoyin hedjit." And Rav says, "Also, any koyin. Why do I need to repeat it? I, the previous pasuk, also said koyin. I need to repeat it because I might have thought they don't even need a koyin because it's lav guf in the parah. But both Rabbi Shmuel held that as far as Velokach HaKohen Eitz Eres, any Kohen Hedget. So that being the case now, why does, and then the next pasuk, B'chibis Begadav, only told us about the big dikuna. We didn't learn anything beyond that. So now this new pasuk that comes on the scene, why does it have to say V'asav Ishtar? It could have said V'asav Es Efer HaParah. Whoever the Kohen Hedget was until now, that was the taker of the eight eretz, eight v'shnitolas, he can continue, or another one of his brethren could continue, and take the Efer HaParah. Why does it have to say Ishtar? So Ishtar comes to go, and again for a drasha, Ish lahachshir es hazar. It doesn't need to be a Kohen Hedget. It doesn't need to be a Kohen. Until now we kept to say, V'lokach HaKohen, V'chibes HaKohen, and all the Tomei HaKohen, Gerecht. But now the fact that the Torah says, Ish! Ish lahachshir es hazar, even the Zar can do the Asaf es Efer HaParah. And then it says in the Pasuk, Asaf Ish Tohar. Well, says Rashi, since we know that the Torah refers to the Inyan of Paraduma like Karban Chatas, so if it has the status of a chatas, then wouldn't you need to have a kohen who's tohar, or even a zor who's tohar? Why does the pasuk have to emphasize tohar? Lahachshir es ha'isha, anyone who's tohar, even an isha can also do this part of the para aduma. And then it says v'niach, mi sheyesh bo das lehaniach, yotzei cheder shoyt v'kohen she'ein ben das lehaniach. When it says v'niach, this is the Lashem Michutz L'machne, number 5, the Asav Ishtar Eis Efer HaPora V'iniach Michutz L'machne V'mokam Tor. Who's going to go and put together the ash in a Michutz L'machne V'mokam Tor? It's going to be a V'iniach, someone who has Das L'aniach, and therefore Cheshet V'katan is excluded. So for this purpose of the Asifas Efer HaPora, any Ish, even a Zor and an Isha, but not Cheshet V'katan. Okay, Tanan also, we learned in the Mishnah, Halkuk Shedun le Kaddish Chutz Mechei Shoyt V'Katan. Now this Kaddish over here nothing to do with making Kiddush on Shabbos. Kaddish over here means to go and mix the Efer HaPora with the Mayim, and then that is called the Kiddush Mechatas. Halkuk Shem, everybody can do it except for the Chei Shoyt V'Katan. Rabbi Yehuda Machshe V'Katan U'Poiso B'Isha U'Ban Droyger. And Rabbi Yehuda says Katan can do the Kiddush, he can go and mix the two together, but an Isha androgynous are excluded. So to my time the Rabbanan, what's the reason for the Rabbanan saying that Hakuk Sheirim Chutz Mechei Sheir Tvekon? The Chassid is in the Pasuk, V'lokchu la'tamei me'afar sreifa sachatos. Go and take for the Tamei, in other words, you want to go and collect the Efer of the Chatos to go and use that for spritzing. What's number six? What the Chacham are saying is, this Velokhu, notice, doesn't say who's the Velokhu. It doesn't say Velokach HaKoyin. It doesn't say Velokach Ishtohar. It doesn't say Velokach Elazar. It leaves it blank. Velokhu Latame. You know why it leaves it blank? Say the Rabbanan, because this is a case of what Ula was saying, Mashma Memela. Just continue the same thought pattern as the previous Pasuk. And since the previous Pasuk we said that two people are kosher. Who are the two people? A Zor is kosher and an Ish is kosher. We said one set of people are disqualified. That's a Cheder Shoyt V'Katan. So we're going to continue on that same pattern. That's the Mashma Memela that the Gemara was saying. The same people that were possibly Asifa, that's the Cheder Shoyt V'Katan, because it's V'Niach. Pasul l'chol b'kiddush, they're going to be pasul b'kiddush as well, because we're just continuing on. V'hanach v'ashu l'chol b'asifa, those that we said are kosher b'asifa, that was the Zor and the Isha. Ashu l'chol b'kiddush, they're going to be kosher b'kiddush as well. That's the Rabban. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Remember, Rabbi Yehuda was machshir b'katan u'poisul b'isha. Rabbi Yehuda and King Leimakro, v'lokach, my v'lokchu. The fact that it says v'lokchu, that already suggests that there is a change, because the previous pasuk said the Asaf Ishtohar, so it should have continued on the Lokach. Why did it say Velokhu Latame? I'll tell you why. My Velokhu dafter the cotton to pass the Chol Hasav Hacha Kasher. Ah, so this is a case like Ula said of mashma moitzi miyad mashma, that the previous pasuk said that a cheshed v'katan is posel. Here we're saying that a katan is kosher, so we're reversing it. What about isha minole? What's the halacha legabe isha? Before we said an isha was kosher based on the word tohoir, guess what? Now it's in the pasuk v'nosan. The same pasuk v'lokhulatomim me'afar tzreifas achatos says v'nosan olamayim chaim el keli v'nosan v'loy v'noyim v'nosna, and therefore an isha is possible. And this therefore is the case of moitzi miyad mashma. So in this very pasuk over here, this really demonstrates emphatically what Ula was getting at. That according to Shmuel in interpreting, not Shmuel, according to Rabbanan in interpreting these psukim, we are continuing on the same pattern as before. That's the mashma memela. Just like in the previous pasuk, the Osef Ishtar, we said that a zor is kosher, an isha is kosher, but cheshed v'katan are pasul. Now, the v'loch halatame, same aloch applies. Harch the pasul chabasifa. Paslucha bekiddush, hanav bekashulucha beasifa, ashulah bekiddush. Exactly the same. In other words, just continuing on mashma mech.
I'm looking inside the actual.
Excuse me. While Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, is just the opposite, and that's what Ulu is saying. Kol parsha kula mashma moitzim miyad mashma. Since the previous drasha was that you could use a zor and an isha, but you cannot use a cheshed v'katan, this new pasuk v'loch will come to tell you that you can use a cotton, and the isha that you said before you can use, and you cannot use v'nasa v'loy v'nasa. So therefore, that's what Ula was saying. Moitzi miyad mashma. Yes, your question.
I'm looking at the intervening. These psukim are not following one another immediately.
That's correct.
They're intervening psukim in the middle.
That is correct.
And the immediate pasuk for v'lochu is kolasha yiga al pnei asad v'chel charvo v'meisu be'esam odo v'kevri tomei shiva siyomim.
Exactly. Does that have anything to do with paraduma?
All the people who need paraduma, yes.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
So it sounds like if you're going and saying that the psukim are continuing one after the other and talking about the same cast of people, then it's much broader. And suddenly it says v'lachu. It sounds very, very broad, very, very general. It surprises me that Gemara is jumping all the way back and saying we're ignoring all these psukim in between.
The reason why we're ignoring all the psukim in between is because we're leaving Parah Aduma for a few minutes, and we're saying, Rabbi say we're preparing this Parah Aduma. How do you prepare the Parah Aduma? You have to go and check it, and then you have to do the Hazos Adam, and then you have to burn it, and then you have to go and throw the things in, and then you have to go and collect it with the water and all the rest. Well, by the way, why am I using the paraduma? Am I using it stam to make kiddush on Friday night? Am I going to drink from it? Chas v'sholem. It's for a person who became tummy. How did the person become tummy? Now we have several psukim. The person became tummy because unfortunately it wasn't a veil or a sheret. Somebody passed away, and it was either inside an oil, or it was al pnei asada, and he touched it, or he was under the same oil. Those are the 5, 6, 7 psukim that you're referring to, and that was a short break, commercial break, if you will, from the process of the Parah Aduma. And now that I understand why I'm going to use the Parah Aduma, I'm back to Parah Aduma again. Don't forget Rabbi Yisai, now that I know what I'm using it for, now take for that tummy person who I've just now explained in great detail how he became tummy, why he's tummy, what the dinim are. Now take the fasri for tzchatas, then we're going to continue on the process. So, in terms of the actual psukim, this is Pasuk Tes, and this is Pasuk Yud Zayin. I agree with you, there are 8 psukim in between, but those psukim in between have nothing to do with paraduma, they have to do with the subject of the hazoras paraduma. Why am I doing this all together? I have nothing better to do than take red heifers and check them and burn them. I need it for the people that are tummy. What type of people are tummy? For tumas.
Yeah, but the fact that we're talking about v'lachu, it suddenly jumps to the plural. Everything else is in v'lash and yachid.
That's exactly right. Zokti Mar, so thank you for helping us out. V'rabbanan, ikos rachman of v'lachach v'nosan. If we talk to say v'lachach v'nosan, have a minna ad shokol chad v'yoyiv chad. Kos rachman of v'lachu. What's going on over here? Remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we just finished saying that Rabbi Yehuda says in Kain Lima Krov Velokach Mai Velokchu, the Velokchu, the plural instead of the singular, comes to tell you that even the cotton that I passed previously, because it said Vihiniach, le'mute chayre shoyt v'katan, the lokhu comes to be mar v'katan. Just the opposite, just like Ula said, that's the moitzi miyad mashma. And faket, before I said that agabi the din of the asifa v'asaf ish tohar, tohar is l'rabi tisuhisha, now v'nasa v'nolei nasna, so, in answer to your question, why did it say v'lakhu? Says Rabbi Yehuda, I'll tell you why it says v'lakhu. To include not only a bar gavra, a person who's already bar mitzvah, but even a katan. Pray to more, Rabban, what do they do with the lakhu? Because after all, they say, it just continues on with the same people that we apostled before, apostle now, same people that were kosher before, a kosher now. Said more, Rabban, ikos rahman v'lakach v'nosan, if it wouldn't say, v'lokhu, but it says v'lokach, have mina ad v'shokel chad v'yohiv chad. Then I would think that the same individual who's the osap, that same person also has to be the v'lokach. The same guy, the same Mr. Jack Smith, because we're allowing even a zar, or we're allowing an isha, even Mrs. Jack Smith, the same zar or isha, that was the osap person. I would say it's also the v'lokach person. That's why we have to go and say v'lokhu to tell you no, that in fact it's totally different. Again, Rabbani Kosov, Rabbi Chamana, v'lokach, v'nosan, instead of v'lokhu, v'nosan, have him in ad v'shokul chad v'yoyiv chad. I would say that the same individual who's the lokeach, he's also the nosan. Kosov, Rachmana, v'lokhu, to tell you that you can take anybody. Maybe there's in fact a requirement, since by the Osaf Ishtar it was singular, one individual. Here it says, oh, maybe you have to have two individuals, two that are going to go and take the afar straight for sechatas, and two v'nosnu olam mayim chaim el kale ad shakli trei v'yavi trei. Because one v'lokhu v'nosan dafim v'shakli trei v'yav chad. That we're not makbid, it could be one, it could be two, it could be two, it could be one, it could be the same individual, it could be somebody else. Really, there is no requirement over here of any specific numerosity. It could be one, it could be two, it doesn't make a difference.
So, in some countries you're saying, nasan v'lo nasna, when we medayik on the gender.
That was v'nosan, v'nosan
v'lo nasna.
Correct.
And sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're ignoring that distinction.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't say v'asaf. Each talk, I mean, sometimes we're spotlighting it, and sometimes we're ignoring it. Is that correct?
It depends on which mandiyama, on which fasik. All of these psukim, the way they darshan it, is a mesoida that the Rabbanan and the Rabbi Yehuda had from their rebbes and from the previous rebbes and from their rebbes, all the way going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, this is all drushes chazal, none drushes chazal are made up by any of the Tanoim Amiroim. This is all the mesoida going back all the way in time. So Dr. Yomari Yetz Weiter, the next stickle is V'lokach Ezer. We are now six lines from the bottom of the Omid, and we're continuing through this beautiful process that Ula has embarked on in showing how numerous psukim are mashma mamela. We just continue on the mashmois of the previous pasuk, which was what we just had now according to Rabbanan, that the same people that were kosher for purposes of the Osaf Ish Tohar, the same people are kosher for the v'lokhu latami afasrei for sechatas, and the same people that were apostle before continue to be apostle. What Rabbi Yehuda say? Oh no, it's just the opposite. The cotton that was previously apostle, now he's kosher. The woman that was previously kosher, she's now apostle for that avoid. And we continue on to the next one. V'lokach eizoiv v'tovu b'mayim ishtar. Now we're beyond the kiddush, meaning the manufacturing of the mechatas by the mixing of the wood and the mechatas, and now we're ready to go and actually be maza on a tamei dika person. So you don't maza with your fingers, you go and take a zoiv, hisap, and you go and betovel, and you dunk it into the water, and then you go and spritz it on another individual. So v'lokach eizoiv betovel mamayim ishtar. Now when we learned the ishtar earlier, we said that the ish came to be marba a zor, because since the prior pasuk said koyin, and this it says ish, comes to tell you it doesn't have to be a koyin, even an ish, in other words, even a zor can do it. And when we learn the word tahar, that was lahashir as a isha, that even a woman is mutter. And now we're going to use the same words ish tahar, and we're going to use it in reverse. V'lokach eizu v'tovu b'mayim ish tahar. So
reverse it.
One second.
She's told, why is that reversed?
Wait, one second. Don't be nervous. We'll find out. We're going to find out not only soon, but immediately.
Yeah.
Says he what? The Rabbanan, ish v'loy isha. When we had the ish before v'asa v'ishta, we didn't say ish v'loy isha. There we said ish, any ish, even a zar. And then when it said in the pasuk tahar, tahar comes to even include an isha. And guess what? Here's the other way around. It's ish v'loy isha. It's got to be dafka man and not a woman. Tahar lahachshir is a katan. Tahar comes to tell you to be machshir a katan. Now, what's the reason for this? Why did the Tanakhama learn like this? This is the Tanakhama, which is the Rabbanan. Because what did the Rabbanan say until now? The Rabbanan said until now that the same people that were the Osef Ishtar, those people that were kosher for the Osef Ishtar, those are the same people that were kosher for the Veloch Chulatomi Me'afas Reifas Achatos, which means that the Zor and the Isha were kosher, and it was the cotton that was possible. And now that we have Veloch Achiz V'Tolomayim Ishtar, why are we repeating the Ishtar again? We already had an Ishtar. That was the Asaf Ishtar. It could have simply said, V'lokach Eze V'tovu B'mayim. The fact that it says Ishtar comes to tell you something. What does it come to tell you? Once again, to be Moitzi Miyad Mashma, to go and now change what we had learned until now. What did we say until now? Until now we said that an Isha is kosher. So guess what? Ish v'lo isha. Isha is not kosher. Until now we said that a cotton is not kosher. Tohar l'hashir is a cotton. That a cotton now is kosher. Again, the same type of moitzi miyad mashma that we are now reversing abruptly from one pasuk to the next.
Are we talking, so when you said the lokach ezov now, we're talking about a kohen doing this, right? A kohen. This is something a zar is not doing, right?
Why do you say that?
I'm inquiring. Is the lokach ezov? I guess in my imagination, I never thought of a zar doing the hazah, the dipping in the ezov into the par aduma and doing the spritzing.
Okay. So before you continue on,
right?
Stop. Since the previous Gemara said that a ish is lahachshir es hazar,
right,
as well as lahachshir es isha, we've only reversed on the isha, we didn't reverse on the ish,
right.
So azar continues to be kosher for purposes of the hazar. Not only do I say that, if you skip ahead two lines, three lines from the bottom of the Yomid Meisvei, a Mishnah in the Sechtes Parah, Hakul Ksheirim Lahadis, everybody can be mazer.
Thank you.
It doesn't say anything about a Levi or Yisrael, so Hakul includes a Koyim Levi Yisrael.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anyway, so getting back to our case over here, Zog the Gemara, V'lokach Eiz V'tovu B'mayim Ishtar, V'rabban Ish V'lo Isha, Tohor L'Hachshir Esakon. And again, this is the Moitz Miyad Mashma, because previously, according to Rabbanan, Isha was kosher, now Isha is not kosher. Previously, a cotton was disqualified, and now he is qualified. Ul Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda had already reversed it in the previous passage because it says V'lokhu. And therefore he said, based on V'lokhu, that the cotton was permissible to do it. Afilu cotton. The pasuk l'hasam, here is kosher. As far as the Isha, he said, Isha is pasuk because it says V'nasam v'loy l'asna. So now we're going to go and reverse it once again. Ul Rabbi Yehuda, Ish v'loy cotton, when it comes to be mazah, the meichatas, only an ish, a cotton, is disqualified, because previously we said v'lokhu, that a cotton was qualified. So now it's moitz miyad mashma, a cotton is disqualified. And previously we said that an isha was not good, v'nosan v'loy v'nosna, according to Yehuda. Guess what? Isha is once again qualified. Tor l'achshir is isha. Again, both of them in this case are moitz miyad mashma. Bring to more amazing. You're telling me now, Lagabi, the Hazo'a of the Mayim, that there's a machoikis between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. Well, let's look at the Mishnah in Masechtes part. Meisvei Hakuk Shein Lahazis. Everybody is kosher. Chutz mitumtum v'androigin es v'isha. They are puzzled. They cannot do it. The cotton. Either Shein Badas, Yesh Badas, Isha Masayasa Umaza, a cotton can, but with the help of a senior. So what do we see over here? That an Isha is disqualified and a cotton is qualified. That of course is exactly word for word Rabbanan. We said five lines ago, Rabbanan Ish V'loy Isha, Isha no good, Torah L'Hashas a cotton. Oh, so that's totally consistent. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. If Rabbi Yehuda disagreed, Frank Timura, V'loy Palik Rabbi Yehuda. How come the Mishnah Masechta Parah all of a sudden Rabbi Yehuda is quiet? In our Gemara, we just said now that Rabbi Yehuda learns the exact opposite of the Rabbanan. Shouldn't Rabbi Yehuda be quoted in the Mishnah Masechtas Parah? Holy cow! Why does it mention Rabbi Yehuda? Omar Bai, even the Omar Mar, Mashma, Moitzmi Ad Mashma, or Mashma Meila is Polik. Since we've already learned for the last blot, Kamata blot, since we started talking about Ula, that you'll have many psukim where it's going to be Moitzmi Ad Mashma, and many psukim which are going to be Mashma Meila, and they're all going to be, this is not just something that you took something out of the hat and you say, well, you know, since last time I said the two psukim are consistent, let's now say that the pasuk is the opposite. Or since until now I said the two psukim are opposites, now let's say something consistent. No, no, that's not the way it works. It all has to do with extra words in the pasuk, how you darshan them. And since according to both Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda were darshaning the word Ishtar, so where the Rabbanan had learned the Ishtar to be Moitzi from the Brit, you don't have to repeat Ishtar, already said the Osef Ishtar. Why does it say again, V'lokach Ezeb Atav Amayim Ishtar? We're not talking about taking someone from the moon who's Tameh, but we're talking about the same thing. Why does it repeat Ishtar? So the Rabbanan say it's Moitzi Miyad Mashma Ishvaloi Isha Tor Lahashu Sekon, and Rabbi Yehuda learns the other way around. Both because of the extra words Ishtar. So the Gemara says, logically, since I know what the Rabbanan is saying, logically Rabbi Yehuda is using the same Ishtar, but in reverse, because the previous pasuk was in reverse. So that's why it's a logical thing, we don't have to repeat it. David, the noise, if you'd be so kind, maybe you could put yourself on mute. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara now. The Hizatar al Hatome. Okay, so now we basically ended Ula's discussion about Moitzi Miyad and Moitzi or Memela Mashma, Mashma Memela. We're going to come back to it in another moment, but the next pasuk really is unrelated to that, but rather it says the Hizatar al Hatome, Tor Mechlal Shehu Tome, Limit al Tzvul Yoim, Shekosher. What is the Gemara telling us? It says right in the pasuk, "V'izahat to'or halatame v'yemeshlishi v'yemeshvi," and he has to go and spritz on the other individual. Now, why does it have to say in the pasuk "hatohar"? The Gemara is assuming that that tohar is ibrik; it's superfluous because all the psukim are talking about tohar. Asav ish tohar, lokach ish tohar. So, what do I have to repeat again? Tohar. Says the Gemara, the word tohar has that sound that in a shtickle way, he's somewhat of a hybrid. What do you mean? He's talking about a person that was Tomei this morning. He was Tomei because he touched an Avela. He touched, exactly. And he went and he touched a dead sheretz. So the rabbi said, oh, you're Tomei, you got to go to the mikveh. He went to the mikveh, he came out of the mikveh. Is he totally tohar yet? And the answer is no. When will he be totally tohar? At night, that's what we call Herif Shemesh. In the meantime, he's a Tvul Yoim. Ah, so that's the definition of the word Hatar. He's a Hatar. In some respects, he's Tar. He went to the mikveh. As since he went to the mikveh, he's able to already eat, for instance, Maaser Sheni. He's able to go and eat Chulin B'Tahara. However, if he's a Koyin, he cannot go and eat Truma. He cannot go and eat Kodshim yet, because he's only a Tvul Yoim. So therefore, in a sense, he's Ashtikul Tamei. That's what Imar means. The fact that the Torah has to emphasize that he's Tor comes to tell you he's not 100% Tor, he's 90% Tor. So he's a shtickle Tor. What does that mean? He made out Tzvul Yoim. Shekoshe bepar of the Tzvul Yoim can go and do the Avodas part. And Barry's going to go and tell us now, and going to remind us from Dav Beis Amid Aleph, that was what we, the Chachomim, held. The Tzedoikim, on the other hand, said, no! It has to be Davka a Mu'urav Shemesh. Shemur is a Tvul Yoim, is puzzled from doing the Avodah. And therefore the Chum did, the Hoitzim, a Liban Shel Tzedokin, they used to go and take the person who was going to do the Avodah Sapara, and they would be Metameh him with a Tumah that required him to go to the Mikvah, so that he would be a Tvul Yoim. And then they said, okay, you do now the Avodah of the Parah Aduma. Aye. Klal Yisrael is going to say, oh, you see, Poradum is not so holy, you could even use a Tvul Yoim. Because of that, they had to make many, many malas. And one of the malas was that the Kohen that was going to perform this avoid of the Poradumah, he had to be sequestered for 7 days, just like the case of the Kohen Gadol. In which Lishka was he sequestered? Was it the Lishka Sparhedrin?
No.
It was called Lishka Se'evan. Why was it Lishka Se'evan?
Because all the kelim were made of material that could not become tameh.
All the kelim that he was going to use for the next 7 days, all the kli glolim and the kli shayish and the kli avonim, everything had to be the type of kelim that are not susceptible, not vulnerable to becoming tamei. Why? The hoitzi meliban, the people shouldn't be mezalzel and shouldn't go and say, big deal, paradum, even tvul yoyim, when metamim, he goes to the mikvah. No. And of course, many other malice, like making that major ramp that we spoke about yesterday, v'chuli.
Well, not by kaling, we're just talking about just any accoutrement, any tools. Oh, we're talking about cups and sources.
The cups and sources.
So then, after another variety of materials other than clay.
There we go. You go back. You're back on that base, Omer Aleph. V'lishkas beis Eben hoisin nekris v'lamish nekris shmar lishkas beis Eben shekol maaseh b'kli glolim b'kli avonim b'kli adoma. That all the pots and pans, probably not pots, but the crockery that was used,
the
bowls and plates, exactly. They didn't use metal, they didn't go and use glass, they didn't use wood, but they used rather these three materials, glolim, avonim, and kli adoma, which cannot become tamei.
Yes.
Good. Excellent.
Even if they have a
base kibble. None of these are not in the kabbal tome, period. Even if they have three times the kli kibble, they're not in the kabbal tome.
The kli adama.
No. What's the difference between kli cheres and kli adama?
One's fired in the kishon and one isn't.
This is just mud which you left out in the sun.
Sun dried.
In fact, it's a special advertising on it. All sun dried kelim, 30% off. Sun dried. Oh.
So the drasha of the tahar, that's its full yom, is going on all the words tahar in the parashah of Aduma.
Please go back to Daf Beis Amud Aleph, right after the Mishnah.
Yes,
and I'm Hassan. Shivas yom koydim sreifa sapara hayim afrishin. What's the name?
Koin of Soreth.
Okay.
So my question is, why, I guess that's kind of like sharpening my question here a little bit. If it's only the Soreth, but Tahar is a word sprinkled everywhere here. It's spritzed
Right, exactly.
Spritzed everywhere here. So why are we saying only the Soreth? Why aren't all of these Tahar individuals in that parsha?
So let me ask you a question. Why do we have a Lishka Se'evan for 25 people? One that's going to be the Shochan and one that's going to be the Yosef and the other one. So it could very well be that even though Al Pi Halacha it's mutter to have all of these separate individuals, it was one person that did everything from top to bottom, and they called him the Soreth because that's considered to be
essential.
Exactly, because you can go and check the 100 parts of Dumas until you burn it, you don't have anything. Now I have the ash, I can start getting water, I can mix it, I can do something with it. Okay, so you might invite them. We're still not.
I'm sorry. One last small question.
If you'll be so kind.
I'll wait for the other second.
Yeah, that would be very kind of you. Thank you. Rav Asi, ki hava ba Rav Yochanan v'Rish Lakish b'Parah. Rav Yochanan v'Rish Lakish were learning Masechtas Parah during the Zman, and they spent on it a day or a week or in a month. When they were going through all the psukim, they were trying to find some common pattern to be able to go and say, all goes in this pattern, to the right, to the left, all makes beautiful sense, and they were not really able to establish anything. But rather, what they were able to come up with was only little bits and pieces. Kemai demasik tala. Tala is a shu'al. We have shu'olim holchuvoi in the Beis Hamikdash, which are foxes. As much as a fox is able to raise me beikarva. Beikarva means a field that has been plowed. So when your fox walks through the plowed field, what is he able to accomplish? He's mala dust. Dust comes up, which means really nothing. There, when Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, when they were learning Masechtas Parah, Motzah Gimuchid, they put in tremendous horavanya, which means yegia, lots of time and lots of effort. They were only able to raise dust in trying to find some sort of pattern. Ella, ultimately, they came out just like Ula. Amri, what did they say? Mashma moitzim miyad mashma umashma mela. Sometimes the psukim are going to go and change gears, go on a brand new route, and they're going to go and be moitzi from what the previous pasuk said. And at other times, the psukim are just going to continue the same pattern as we had in the previous pasuk. So exactly like Ula said at the outset, the Gemara is just reconfirming, no way, whichever way you turn the Chumash upside down and right side up and right to left and left to right, you're going to come out the same. Some psukim are in the exact same pattern, and some are in reverse. And for those of you that want to have kind of a quick summary, you have in the art scroll a very beautiful chart. I also have a chart that was given to me by Rabbi Gerstein, and Yet Hashem, I will send it around. You'll be able to get it in Yet Hashem by email later.
Yes,
it's beautiful. You have a chart, it's in English, and then the Hebrew one has a beautiful in Hebrew as well. And it goes through each one of the psukim separately. What does Rav
hold? It's going to be on our test.
It's going to be on the test, exactly.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So now we finish Baruch Hashem, and now we can go back to the original halacha that we started with this whole sugya. How do we start off the whole sugya? After all, our Masechta, by the way, is not about the Parah Aduma, but a very large part of the Masechta is about the par of the Kohen Gadol. And if you remember, we had a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, paroi kasha bizar, para pasul bizar, paroi pasul bizar, and para adum is kasha bizar. Machlokes Rav and Shmuel that we had at the beginning of this sugya. So now we have Rabbi Yochanan that's also taking up this halacha. Toni Tana Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, was repeating the following braisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan. He was saying, "Kol hashchitos ksheiros bizar, all shchitos are kosher, chutz mishal para." When it comes to para aduma, you have to have a kohen. You cannot use a zar. All the shchitos in the basin, maybe you should kosher bizar, but not para aduma. You remember the Gemara asked the other day, isn't it a kal v'chomer if you can in the base midrash? It's kodesh yagov. You're talking about kabbonis. Here you're just talking about kodesh bedekabayis. How could that be? You remember the Gemara says midi hava maris negoyim, that the Torah says a mara nega has to be pronounced by the kohen. Here too, the paraduma has to be done by the kohen. So kol shchitas k'sher v'zor chutz mishal par.
We did learn earlier that there was a machlokes about that.
Not only did we learn earlier, omle Rabbi Yochanan poik tani lebra. He said to the person who repeated this halacha, do me a favor, go outside, because lemetzino shchita bezor psula sinish do azazach. Any time and every time, any shchita, whether it happens to be kachim in the base of midrash, whether it's paraduma, at all times a zor is kosher. Lemetzino shchita bezor psula. Always the zor is kosher. Not only did Rabbi Yochanan ignore this Tana, he didn't ignore him, but he told him, I'm not listening to what you have to say. This is something rare in the annals of history, that Rabbi Yochanan listened to his Rebbe and says, I respectfully disagree. If you're repeating Rabbi Shimon Yitzadik, that means it one of his Rebbe's. Shchitas para bizar psula, says Rabbi Yochanan, Oimer kishera. No, even though my Rebbe said that way, that's not the case. Leimatzenu shchita shepsula bizar. All shchitas across the board are all kosher bizar. Zor is always kosher for shchita. As a result, now we have now a third mandiyama. We had previously Rav and we had Shmuel. As you recall, Rav was the one that said that Zor is possible by Parra, but Zor is kosher by Parai. Shmuel said the exact reverse. He said that Zor is kosher by Parai, but not by Parra. And now, says Rabbi Yochanan, Zor is kosher everywhere. Sai on Yom Kippur, and Sai in the case of the Parah Aduma. And now we have a wonderful question that Reb Simcha Elon wants to ask us. Yes? Okay, so how could it be that the Zohar should go in check?
Even though you may correct all year long, but don't...
No, your question is an excellent question. And in fact, yesterday we dealt with that question. We didn't have the pleasure and privilege of your participation. But the kasha that you're asking is Toysis's kasha back on Lamed Beis Amid Beis. So you have a mind, can I know how to like the Bali HaToysis, who asked this kasha. If you go back to Lamed Beis Amid Beis, just for a short moment, you want to see your kasha in print, don't you? Of course. And you go to 32b, to be or not to be. Look at the last line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, kol avoidis yom kippurim ein kasheris ella boy. And you just said, so how can a zor be kosher for shechita? So look at the last choices, and you'll see the last choices go in about 6-7 lines right after the chulin daf chafes in parentheses. You're saying it cannot be done by an acher. That was yesterday's gemara. Today's daf mem gimel. Can you imagine the power of the kohen gadol can be shochet bizar? Didn't you just say in the bottom and kasher sell a boy? Whose kasher is that? That's Reb Simcha Ilan's kasher. That's his Tosis kasher. Beautiful kasher. Skip a few lines. What is Tosis? Answer the Yishloimer. The Mikol Mokim Pasul Midrabanan. In other words, that the mandioma that we just learned now about whom you're asking, how is that possible that it's shared bizar? Because mina toira according to that mandioma, it does not have to be done. Not all the avoidance have to be done by Yom Kippur. According to that mandioma, the shechita can be done by azar. Midrabanan, kol avoidus Yom Kippurim and kshir yisrael abayit. Therefore, there's no stira. He holds mina toira azar could do some of the malachas, such as the shechita. Perhaps that's the only one. That's mutter. Midrabanan and kshir yisrael abayit. So therefore, as a general rule, the azar didn't do it because midrabanan he couldn't do it. The kohen gadol had to do it. Right, the baloi etzel parishni. He comes back to his par for the second time, and he does a second vidui. Now, if you checked out the two Mishnayos, the early Mishnah which we just looked at, and the Mishnah we just had, where we're quoting from, the two Mishnayos are basically the same, but there is one major difference. Now, what Mishnayos are you talking about? So, we had an earlier Mishnah that told us about the confessional, the vidui. Where was that Mishnah? We have to find it now. Yeah, okay. We go back to... No, it's not that Mishnah. No. It's a little bit later than that. We're going to find it shortly. It won't take more than an hour, but we're going to find it in Yet Hashem.
On the Hamad base. On the Hamad base, and then Mem Aleph on the base.
Okay, so we're on the Hamad base. Lamed Hey Yomid. Oh, Shkoyach. Lamed Hey Yomid Beis, all the way in the bottom of the Yomid. Bolei Eitzel Paroi Yopoi Yomid Beis. Bulum Lamed Beach. Roish Vedonim, etc. And Umisvad V'kacho Yomir. On Hashem Avit V'shad Chatzos V'necha. Ani Uveisi. Ani Uveisi. On. Yes, it's the first one. Daf Lamed Hey. On Hashem. Or, as Simcha will remind us, Hashem. That's the last choices here, right? That choices. Capital of Oyes, Jabjah, Katoysel Fenech, Ani Uveisi. Kakos, and third is Moshe Avdech. Shoy, that's Daf Lamed Hey. Now let's go to Daf Mem Aleph on the base. There it says, Nochemol, he goes, Umisvad, Vekacha Yoimer, On Hashem Lefenech, Ani Uveisi, Uvnei Aharon Amkiloi Shecha. Again, on a Hashem, on a Vashem, capital of Oyes, Chatosi Lefenech, Ani Uveisi, Uvnei Aharon Amkiloi Shecha. Oh, how come the first Mishnah didn't have the Bnei Aharon Amkiloi Shecha, and now it does have? Sorry?
First one is for himself alone, and the next one is for him in the Khan.
Yeah, but you don't mind if you want to ask the Kasha, no? So that's the most kasha. Maishna bevidu rishon dloy amar b'nei aron am kadoshecha, or maishna bevidu sheni di amar b'nei aron am kadoshecha. Every more time, Rabbi Shmuel, kachi midas adin. Midas adin over here means that's etiquette, or this is the way it should be done. This is the way it's proper and appropriate, and that is. We first want the Kohen Gadol should go and say confession vidui on himself and his immediate household, because we're assuming the Groyser Rachman will give him atonement after. So now that he's going to be Zakai, it'll be better for him now to go and be mespal and be mesvad on behalf of all of his brethren, the rest of the Kahanim, because Yovei Zakai v'Yekaper L'Chayiv, it's better that the Zakai, meaning that now he is rein, now he is pure, let him now go and do the second vidui on behalf of all of the Shevet HaKahuna, which would include the Chayovim, those people that sinned. But Yovei Chayiv, if he still has stains on him because he hasn't received atonement yet, it's not right that he should go and try to be mechaper on the others. So first, his first vidui is to go and purify himself. Now that he is pure, then he goes to beseech HaKadosh Baruch on behalf of the rest of the Kahanim. Okay, Zot Mishnah. Shchotoi vekibel. Until now we spoke about the two vidois on the par. Now, after the two vidois, now it's finally time for shchita time. V'shach shchotoi, he went and shechted the carbon, vekibel v'mizrak esdamei, and he also did the kabbalah sadam. Now, I'm sure many of you are thinking to yourself, well, one second, shchotoi vekibel v'mizrak esdamei, I remember that when it came to the carbon tamid, that it said he was kartzai umerek acher al yodai. He didn't do the full shechita; he only did 51%. And an assistant came by and did the other 49%. And quickly the kohen gadol was able to go and take the mizrak to go mimakabel the dam. How come it doesn't say the same thing over here? And most Rishonim, most Mefarshim say that Rabbeinu HaKodesh didn't bother repeating it because he figured you remembered it from last time. And that the Shechita means that he did the 51%. And then after that, someone completed it. That's the popular majority opinion. However, the Yochanan Boaz in the Mishnayos, as well as other Achrayim, respectfully disagree. And they said that here, Davki did the full Shechita, not just Merak. Not just the krotzai. What's the difference? Because the previous one was the carbon tumbit, which is a daily carbon. It's not the avodah sayoy. So since it's kosher when you do roiv simanim, he did roiv simanim, he let somebody else finish off, because chushu the kohen gadol. But this is the tzumah shel yoyim, this is the avodah sayoyim, and we want, like Simcha pointed out, that the kohen gadol should do everything. So therefore he does the entire shechita from beginning to end, and then immediately as he finishes the shechita, shnel! He takes the mizrak to get out the spurting dam that should go inside the mizrak.
But the reason we did the kursa earlier was because we worried that there would the dam ha-nefesh would spill out before he could grab the mizrak to be to the Kabbalah. Why are we not afraid of that here?
Kahanim's reason.
If they're Zoris, they can be Zoris with the tumid.
And they have that mizrak right there, gave it to him.
Can I ask a question?
You got to do the best you can because a person is only a person. You're not malachim.
Right.
So if he has to do the shechita, exactly. If he has to do the shechita and he has to do the kabbalah sadam, he's going to have the mizrak on the side, and as soon as the shechita is over, no. And so he won't get the whole spurting blood, so he'll get 50%.
Someone had to be holding the mizrak, right? Or
that's not
at the time of the kabbalah sadam. It has to be held. Correct. Yes, sir.
Rabbi Cohen, Shalom.
Yes.
Showed us a video of the shechita of a par.
Right.
And the blood spurts, not stopping.
100%.
So, he's with the over there, right?
That's correct. If it turned out it got soiled, he would have to change. Why do you think you?
It's not video, but I don't know what it spurts very wild.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think we put him in the Lishkas Bahedrin for 7 days? To do a rehearsal every single day to be careful and to do it again, 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 and hopefully.
Also, but the other point, according to Yochanan Boaz, right?
Yes.
So he's saying about that being the Tommy is not the way to say it.
I think it's your test. Yeah.
If we hold.
Yeah.
So we do hold this.
Yeah.
That every part of the avodah should be done by the Kohen Gadol.
Right, am I right?
Yeah.
Look at Tosis Yontov on top. Look at Tosis Yontov. Tosis Yontov says the Ferish, here's the Ulta Krotzai, and the Yochanan Boaz says the Ket.
Yeah, but
if you hold that the whole avodah should be by the Kohen Gadol, assume you do hold that, that Zorah, that, in this particular. So, Mamsha, the avodah Hayoim is not just the Tzumi Shayoim, but we know he does the Tom Shoshachar, Tom Shibirabayim, Matinei, Matinei.
Absolutely.
So there's no different, you can't start differentiating between, say, well, this is Tzumi Shayoim, so he only has to do the whole thing. Mamsha, all he does, he doesn't do it.
You know, see, Mamsha, before your mind was out of the Toysis, and now it's in the Toysis Yom.
Mendy,
what is it? Can you please repeat what's in the Toysis Yom? Yes, like Reb Simcha says, Mamish and Machavan to the Toysis Yom. Toysis and Daflamet Aleph, Toysis Yom on the Mishnah. Everything is. The Yochanan boy is very so. He was the Reuven Danzig. He was considered to be one of the Gedolei HaDor. He was a very holy Jew, and that's how he understood it. Exactly. So when you're talking about the Karmel Tumah, which is not a Yom Kippur Dikah thing, that doesn't have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. It can even be shared with someone else.
Can it be?
that's now we're in the middle here. Which would you prefer? Would you prefer that we should say it has to be done by the Kohen Gadol, or would you prefer not? Exactly. So you and the Toises, Yons and the Toises, Daf Lamed Aleph are all in the same Shita. We have now lined up Toises, Toises, Yons, and Rav Simcha.
He said, you knew it from before, so he had it. It's the bottom.
Let's hear. What's the The Kohen Gadol was not going to go immediately after the Kabbalah Saddam to be Moilich Saddam and start spritzing it, but rather that's going to be delayed for a little later, because in the meantime he's going to go and prepare the Kafu Machta for purposes of the Chafina Saktoiris to take in Lefnai V'Lefnim. But if he's just going to go and leave the blood inside the Mizrik, it might become Kodosh. Kodosh means it might get Faglivet. Faglivet in English is called congealed. So what do you do then? So he has to give it to someone, and that someone is going to go and be Mamaris, he's going to go and mix it with a spoon or a ladle to make sure it doesn't get congealed.
Good. Reuven Harvi is in.
Reuven Harvi means the fourth line of tablets or tiles on the floor. If you look at Rashi, Reuven Harvi, a little bit higher up, about a quarter down the Amud, called a Ritzpa Asuya Shurois Shurois Tavlois. Just like you have today, also, not
marble,
in case of
marble steps.
Marble steps, but not steps. Here we're talking about on the floor. So these were marble tiles, one next to each other, and there were four rows, there were multiple rows, but this is row number four, and we had the other individual who was Mamaris sitting there on the floor on that Reuven Harvi, the fourth one, Kadesh Lo Yikresh. You're saying because in yeshiva,
right? In yeshiva, machus bedes.
Maybe he had to stand the whole time. Could be. You're right. Could be he was standing. I'm sorry. So that's the case of the mizrak and the individual.
He put the blood down. He stands.
So Zana said,
doesn't put it down because the mizrak had a point. It wasn't flat, so you couldn't put it down. You had to hold it.
Perfect. Not the machta be all the roishim is bech. So now he took a machta. Machta is a fire pan. He went to the roishim is bech. Ufano or fina kecholim elaf elaf vachoisem and mucholas apinimiyos. He had to go and remove now the kecholim for purposes of the major avodah of the ktoiris. So he went up the top of the mizbeach. He took such a fire pan and pushed this to the side. The outer gecholim, because he wanted to have those real hot ones, the ones smack in the middle. He took mecholos and pnimiyos, and he took them in the machta. Viardi went down from the mizbeach. Benich al roiver arvi shemazon. He put that down on the roiver arvi. Nobody had to hold this over here because he didn't have to worry about it congealing. Nobody had to stir it up. It was wasn't blood, so he just left it the roiver arvi. Now, although he used the expression roiver arvi shemazara, it was on the same one as Reuven Harvi Shabbeichel. We'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. Continuing on, b'chol yom ha'yachoyte b'shel kesef u'ma'ara b'toch shel zov, v'yom choyte b'shel zov u'bo ha'yom machnes. What are we talking about? Every single day of the year there was, after all, the avodas haktoiris. What was the difference between avodas haktoiris of the whole year and the one in Yom Kippur? There were several differences. The Mishnah is going to go through a number of them. But for our purposes, what you have to do is you have to remove the gecholim from the mizbeach, and you have to go and bring them throughout the year into the heichol, and on Yom Kippur, lufnai v'lufnim. It was a little bit more tricky because you had the chafina saktoiris. Okay, but again, b'chol yom yechoyte b'shel kesef, the fire pan in which he used to remove the gecholim, the hot coals from the mizbeach, it was made out of silver. And then after he took it off the mizbeach, he would go and pour it into shelzov, into another fire pan which was made out of gold. But today on Yom Kippur, he would just do one fire pan. He didn't switch it from one to the other. The Gemara is going to ask tomorrow, what's the reason why? The Gemara says, because on Yom Kippur we wanted him to have to do the fewer amount of actions as possible. So instead of having from silver to gold, just use one gold. So why don't we do that throughout the whole year? The Gemara is going to say, because the Torah chos the moinu shel Yisrael, every time that you put the fire pan into the fire, some of it may melt away or fall away. So we wanted it to remain intact. So worse comes to worse, if a silver kli happens to be damaged or loses some of its silver, nishkefelach, gold, that's much more expensive. Okay, Mitch, we'll see Mitch tomorrow. B'chol yom choyte b'shel arbas Kavin, Umar the Tech Shlishis Kavin. Every day he would go the one of Kesef was larger, and took four Kavin, and then he would pour into the other one of Zov, which was only three Kavin, and therefore one of the Kavin would spill. The same thing as we said before, this kli, this machta of gold was three, and therefore he put three into the marocha to take out, to scoop out three, and he took the three in like it was. Every day the one made out of kesel was much larger. It was a saw, so it's six kavan, not just four kavan. So he used the choyt b'shal saw, and then he poured into the three kavan, and three fell away. This one, the gold one, was three kavan, like we said before. So there's no machloik, it's the gabi, the size and the number or the volume for the one of gold. The recipient, it's only the giver, the one that we took from the Mizbeach, whether every day there was six or was four. Throughout the year, they made it out of a thicker metal. Today, they made it out of a thinner metal. Again, the reason why they're a thick metal, so that it should remain strong to be able to use for a long time. The Yom Kala, because of the Kohen Gadol, we wanted to make things a little lighten up. Had a short handle, but Yom Arucha today he had a long handle. The reason he had a long handle, he'd be able to put it under his arms and then have the arm help him whilst he's carrying it. Throughout the year, the Zohav was, Yorek doesn't mean green, it was a yellowish gold. By Yom today, Odom, it was a reddish gold. Divrei Menach. That's the daily Torah's pras and pras. And today he had to go and add on a meloi chofnayim, which means a much larger amount. The reason why the Gemara says that he has to add is because you brought the two regular Torah's in besides the Torah's lofnayim and lofnayim. And the pras means a half a mana. You remember that we have in the Kabbonis in the morning before you. No, that's not the one that I'm referring to. Turn around. Peter Maktoris Ketzat, Shloy Shmer is a Shishim Ushmoinam Manam Hayuvaf. Every year they had 368 Manam. Shloy Shmer is a Shishim Machamisha, Kimini Moisacham, 365 days. So you need a Manam for every day. Manam Lachoyan, Pras Bishachris, Pras Ben Aboy. That's what they want to say. I had 368. Shloy Shmanam Yisayim, Shemihem Machlis, Koyin Gadam Lechof, Nabiyamikim, for me had three extra Manam. Koyin Gadam would put his hands in it, and he would scoop out from the three mana more. So this was a larger. Throughout the year was one mana altogether, half and half. And today it was an additional three mana, which he scooped up with his hands. Not all the three went in his hands. It was shirayim. And at once every 70 or 80 years, the shirayim was enough to be able to come lachatzar. Anyway, so the Mishnah continues. Every day it was just daka. In other words, it was ground very, very finely. By Yom, but today was Dakim and Adaka. It was Dakim and Adaka. And the same Mishnah says the same thing again. Whenever the Kehanim went up to do the Avodah, they would go from the right hand side, they would go around the home of Zbech, they would come down by Rovoi, called Pinashat, the Poina El Yamin, like we've had before. The Chiddush of our Mishnah, as Yimor will tell us tomorrow, is that the regular Kehanim, they could not treat the Kevesh as if it's their own private property. So therefore they had to go and walk to the right, going up, and they had to go to the left, coming down. But they couldn't go smack in the middle of the Kevesh unless there was some particular need. However, the Kohen Gadol, since he happens to be so chovev by Kodesh Baruch Hu, he could treat the Kevesh as if it's his private ram. So, he can go to the right, to the left, up and down, back and forth. He can has full control wherever he wants to walk. Throughout the year, not just on Yom Kippur, throughout the year, every day. He had to dafka wash on the kiyar. Today, use the special kitun shalzov. Every day, he never had to go and use the kiyar. He could always have the special kitun shalzov. Every day on the big mizbech, they had four marochis, and on Yom Kippur, they had five. Rabbi Yosef b'chol yom there were three. By Yom Arba today there were four. Rabbi Yehuda Oyim b'chol yom there were shtayim. By Yom Shalosh. So everybody agrees that today in Yom Kippur there's one more. The reason for the one more is because we have to take out the special gecholim for the special ketores that's brought lefnai v'lefnim. Why he holds 4 and 5, 3 and 2, 3 and 4? That mitzvah that'll be for tomorrow's Gemara. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael. Zayg Ben Zayg. Yes.